This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off the Kicksville. Kicksville. The drippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes attired.
You're listening to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Hello, welcome to listeners now, 98.9 Rock, Kansas City's rock station. Also, our friends in 98.3, the Keg in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and 97.9 CPR Rocks in Biloxi, Mississippi. Big show for you. Who sucks less coming up? The word goes down under. And our question, what went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Frank. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I was working at a plywood mill out here in Graham, and I was on the green chain on the clipper, and it's about an 8-foot long blade, and it comes up and down really quick, and it cuts the various sizes of the veneer as it's coming, as it's been peeled from the log. Well, a belt broke right at the blade and shut down operations, and we had to call the millwright over. So operations were shut down on the clipper. It was a hot summer day, and I was tasked with refilling the water cooler. Well, this machine was kind of notorious. Sometimes out of the blue, it would just activate itself. Nobody near it. It would just slam up and down really fast. So a proper thing to do would be kind of throw a couple of blocks of wood underneath there for a safety. Well, unfortunately, when I went to jump on this platform to retrieve the Igloo water cooler, the millwright's fingers were right underneath that blade.
Oh.
He didn't have it secured, and just like that, boom, that blade went off and took three of his fingertips right off. And that is the most god-awful sound I've ever heard a human being emit in their life.
That's did
the
you,
pain this man was in.
Did you find the tips of his fingers?
We did. We found a couple of the tips. We put it on ice. Ambulance was called. He was taken into the hospital. But unfortunately, nothing could have been done about it, so he lost the tips of his finger. But on the bright side, he was back to work about 2 months later, back what he was doing.
Like I said, on the bright side, it wasn't me.
Exactly. Oh, I can't wait to get back to work. I just did.
What was that?
I said, I just can't wait to get back to work.
Did he come?
His job, I guess.
Yeah.
Did he? I'm guessing the mistake didn't happen again.
Well, yeah. There was, unfortunately, we had a, it was an incident, so we had to kind of get together and discuss what happened. And, of course, I had to bring up the fact that, as soon as my foot hit that first step to the platform, that thing just went off just like that. So I felt a little bit of guilt for a while, thinking, God, am I the person? Am I the reason that as soon as I stepped foot on this platform, this thing just decided to go off at that time?
But didn't you say the machine notoriously would just start up on its own for no reason?
Yeah, it had it in the past. Just out of the blue, it would just fire off just once. There would be nobody around. The operator wouldn't be, sitting there. There was nobody around. And I don't know if this was a hydraulic system or it was air pressure from a big air tank. But, this thing had enough force. He could have taken his whole arm off probably if he had reached underneath there far enough.
I'd be like, I'm not working on this machine anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all. It's easy enough.
Come back to work, but I don't want to do that.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Tell you what, though, he talked about that cooler he was grabbing.
You know what I really like about
that cooler is ubiquitous. Any sports dugout.
I know, when he shut it. Yeah.
Site, like, you know that cooler.
My favorite part about this show so far has been the fact that listening to the callers, and they get into great detail about all these parts, you know what I mean? And then we have to sit here and act like we know what the hell they're talking about.
I don't know, a 465 R wrench with a power compressor on the backside of it, and then one of the lug nuts fell off the back. You know what I mean? Right near the back switchblade. So I reached my hand out in there, and you know how that's put right up against the radiator. And all of a sudden, that's when the timing belt went off. You know, because it's right next to the radiator. And I'm just sitting there going like, yeah. But I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
The only one I knew was saw.
I knew saw and blade.
Yeah.
So I could see where it was going.
And then the turbo cooler blew. You know, because it's sitting right next to the radiator cap. Yeah.
But in the end, I'd get my beard hair burned off.
And you know, I was about 10 grand deep after that one. Oh, of course you were. What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Also, that clearly affected that man, that dude losing his fingers.
Yeah. He's carrying some, man, you got nothing to feel guilty about.
Yeah. They didn't do anything.
It's a spooky machine. And the guy's back at work, just, you know.
2 months later.
I'd have milked it for more time. Hello, Cam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hey,
love the show, guys. Hey. That last call made my stomach curl a little bit. But
looks like we're going to have one of those days.
Yeah. So this happened to me about, about 9-10 years ago. I went up and saw a college buddy in Bellingham. We were driving back after a long weekend of drinking. And I think we'd been up until probably 4 or 5 that morning. Decided to head back down to Port Townsend from Bellingham. On I-5, the serpentine belt of my truck just blew off entirely. Middle of I-5, had to pull off this exit. And we, like, coast through. Because when you lose a serpentine belt, you lose all power, steering. Your brakes don't work that well, all of it. So we get through this light, and we're going about one more block. I'm trying to get off to a side street. And it's like maybe 7 a.m. in the morning. We're hungover. Maybe it's still a little drunk. Pull off. And there's nothing we can do. So I call my dad, and he's like, hey, I'll come up and fix this for you. So we're like, all right, how long is it going to be? It's like 2 hours. So we decide, fall asleep on the sidewalk. We did not realize we were across the street from a prominent daycare. As we're sleeping on the sidewalk, parents are coming up thinking we're either one, dead, or hobos.
Right.
The whole time. And we finally get to the point where my dad shows up. We're like, oh, thank God, get us out of here.
Was he able to fix it?
No, that was a no-go fix. He had to get that towed to get it all set up. Those trucks, they're hard to work on. He just said, screw it, let's take you to breakfast. Went and had breakfast. He drove us away the rest of the way home and called it good.
Okay.
Were any of the parents, like, angry? Did anyone confront you?
Oh, yeah. Like, one in every three. It was like prime time for kids getting dropped off, and there's two college guys who are sweating tequila on the sidewalk as they walk out. So they were not happy.
That's great. That's where my daughter goes to school. That makes me feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, look.
That explains a lot.
I feel like once your kid goes to college, unless they're... No, once your kid goes to college, they're getting drunk. They're having sex, and if they're not, they're trying to.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA. Now I'm comforted.
Oh, I'm sure she's been successful.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, don't sweat it. Last time I was in that town, I got wasted. This is a fun town.
Hello, Nate. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So back in high school, we went down to Seattle Center, and a friend of mine, and we were just trying to get some food, and we were riding back, and we're riding the monorail back to Westlake. And right about the time that we left Seattle Center, it started making some real loud noises. And I thought it was kind of weird, but kind of just mind my own business. Right about the time that it comes through the EMP, or it was the EMP at the time, there's a loud explosion, and all the lights go out. The whole monorail starts to fill with, like, electrical fire smoke. So you can't see, you can't smell, your eyes are burning. And so there's people manually open up the doors on the side, and there's this older Asian lady with a little baby, and she's holding the baby out over the side of the monorail, kind of like Michael Jackson in that over the balcony, right, trying to keep the baby out of the smoke. And it seemed like an eternity before the fire truck finally came and brought the ladder so we could get out.
Oh, so you had to actually go down a fire truck ladder to get off that thing.
Oh, yeah. It was like, you know where, like, the McDonald's is right by Seattle Center?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right up there. I mean, it's probably like 30, 40 feet.
Oh, yeah. It's as high as it is the whole way the track is.
If you're not at one of the two stops it offers, like, right, you need the fire ladder.
I don't know if you remember this or not, but we were, this has been in our time here, probably 10 years ago, whatever. The two monorails were down near the other side, the final stop, the only other stop.
Right.
And they just happened to pass each other right where the Bartell is. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, when they built the tracks, they didn't realize that two trains at that exact point couldn't pass each other because the tracks were too close together. And this has never happened since the World's Fair. The World's Fair, when they put this thing
1963
together, the two trains had never passed each other at this point. And when they did, they crashed into each other and they couldn't get by. And they had two trains stuck there up in the up on the track day.
I remember that, but it's kind of like you would think that's an engineering error that could easily be avoided, right?
Yeah, they built it in 1962.
So, okay, but still.
But it seems like you just got lucky for, what, 50 years right, that they didn't have
right
to do it.
That's the amazing part. This never happened.
How wide the is the train?
Like, right. Two trains never passed at that exact point where they would get stuck and crash into each other.
And have they done anything about it?
No. No, they haven't.
Well, there's ever been another crash.
They just don't cross each other's paths there.
Yeah.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
It's like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Across streams.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholos.
Hola.
I've always wanted to say that.
Nice.
Hey, so back in the early 80s, I was in the Navy on submarines over here at Bangor. In fact, I still work there. But a guy, I was single with a family car type of thing, a little Buick Special. I'm not going to get into the car part details like that other guy. But it was a family car, slow. I was 18 years old. I wanted a muscle car, you know?
Of course.
Well, another guy on the boat, a cook, had a 70 Challenger, a badass, 440. I mean, he kept getting into trouble. And his wife was like, you get one more ticket, you're going to get rid of this car. And I said, I'm the single guy. I should have that car. You're the married guy with family. You should have my car. Let's trade. No way. No way it was an equal trade, but I thought, oh, this would be awesome. Well, he ends up getting another ticket, and his wife says, if Chris wants to trade, you trade him. So he came over to the barracks. I just happened to be giving it a tune-up, and he goes, hey, you still want to trade? I'm like, well, of course, what do you mean? My wife says, I have to trade. If you want it, bring your title to work tomorrow. And he's all bummed, and I'm stoked. I'm 18 years old with a 440 Magnum. Are you kidding me? So I get the tune-up done, and I'm all excited. I could hardly sleep that night. I'm going to get me a Challenger. And next morning, I'm driving down to the pier, and like every other business, there's all kinds of traffic. I smell fuel, and I'm like, well, that's weird. Well, minutes later, my car just burst into flames. Evidently, the fuel filter.
No!
Bedroom colors? Here are the seven words you can't say on the radio.
Appropriate use of the word.
If it wasn't for the FCC, I've got them slack.
Please keep those words in mind when calling.
Never got that down.
Ultimately, the trade didn't happen.
Well, that trade's too good to be true. That's just karma saying, look, no one gets a trade this good. I got to kill your car.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
We have a story very similar to this. A comment came in and says, flying with my dad in Alaska, had a single engine on a twin plane catch fire. The bad part was we'd passed the P&R, so we had to finish on to our next stop.
The P&R.
Point of no return.
Oh, mm-hmm. The point of no return. Thank
there
you.
There you go.
I was going to be, all right, I know what that is, the P&R.
I'm just curious, man. Thing.
Sorry, man, I should let you have that one.
Do you just sit there and ask bricks the whole time? Anything in a plane, like any bad thing on a plane, and maybe it's just the panic, but I mean, if they say, hey, we just want to point out that one of our engines has failed, but we have three more. Like, not good enough.
I think if you're a bush pilot in Alaska, you basically just know your life is not going to be a long one. Isn't that the number one spot for pilots that just don't come back?
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of crash, but there's also just a ton more of those planes up there.
And mountains with high elevation that if you can't make it over for whatever reason, you know, you're going to smack into the side of one.
Well, sure. And that's the problem with being in rural Alaska. Like, you got to do things by plane because there's no other way to get, you know, from point A to point B. I don't know, man, but there was another story in the news. They got lucky, quote unquote. The guy, I guess he just bought a plane or something, but the guy bought a plane. He is with another passenger, and the plane loses power, right? It just loses power. So to me, this is bad. They managed to survive because he crashed it in the ocean. But like, if you're over land, I don't
know. Is that the guy that filmed it?
Oh, did you see the video? I've got the story right here. It's insane.
Yeah.
So basically, these guys, this guy just bought a plane. It was a 1979 Beechcraft A36 Bonanza. You know the model.
Yeah, we know, man.
Was it a new plane?
He purchased this 1979. He purchased this thing a couple weeks before it went down, bouncing off the ocean. He was actually flying with another buddy who had another plane, and he filmed this. And the plane skips about four times, very smooth landing into the ocean. He's on board with another passenger. He said he only had 20 or 30 seconds before the plane started to sink. So he took quick inventory of what was around him, grabbed his cell phone and the keys to his car.
Ah, good thinking.
Once in the water, he called to his friend and fellow pilot, who was inside a second plane flying overhead, and captured the footage of their crash landing. He said for the first 15 minutes after the crash, he did not know what his friend's condition was. When he called me, it was a relief. It's absolutely surreal hearing your friend call for Mayday and ask for help. It's something you never wanted to hear. But then I watched him go down, so I'm still trying to process all this. So while he made the call to the Coast Guard, Lesh was able to snap an amazing amazing video from the phone of the tip of the plane sticking straight up, looking like a tail's whale, or a whale of a tail before it goes in. It's almost like watching the Titanic.
Tail of a whale.
Tail of a whale, yeah. After some time in the water, the icy temperatures and treading in the water began waning on Lesh and his passenger. Jellyfish began to sting their legs. This is the worst case scenario. It got cold pretty quick. After about 20 minutes or so, I started to freeze up pretty good. Coast Guard got there and was able to reach the pair, and they were taken to a local hospital. By the time we got to him, he was probably pretty decently hypothermic, moving into severe hypothermic. But
that's the scariest part to me. Like, crashing in a plane is going to suck. But you hear stories about Alaska, people crash and survive. But now you're just in the ocean floating.
See, to me, that's the whole thing.
Do you take that, or do you take what happened to Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Oh, Dale Jr.
Okay.
They walked away from it fine. He didn't have to spend any time in open ocean.
That's a good point. Being stung by jellyfish. Like, if one thing wasn't worse, the next thing happens.
Yeah, but
you know, all his family made it out. His dog made it out. The pilots made it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You look at that plane crash, though. You cannot believe that anybody made it out of there. It's a miracle.
They'd almost need to lead with that. I know everything's clickbait now, but basically, you go online, you're looking at the news, and it says Dale Earnhardt involved in plane crash, and they have a picture of the plane. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then, you know, two paragraphs in, like, oh, he's fine. Sorry, yeah. We should have told you that. Like, come on, man.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So we had a windstorm, and it knocked down about a 60, 70-foot cedar tree, and it knocked it down between two other trees that were standing up. So you can picture this thing, it kind of tapers as it goes away from the earth, right?
Okay.
And at the highest point, it's probably about 8 feet out at the end. So I talked my wife into going over there to get this tree because the neighbor said we could have it. So I got my little chainsaw, my one-handed chainsaw, and she's got the pruners, and we're heading over there. And I'm thinking, well, I want to take this as a log. I don't want to take it as firewood. So I start walking out on this thing, and I'm one-handedly trimming branches as I'm walking out.
Always
so you're decreasing the weight and what it's basically holding it up off the ground at this point.
Absolutely. And it's still attached to the roof, so, you know, it's got a strong point on one end. And as I'm walking up this tree, I'm getting further and further off the ground. And, you know, I get about to where I'm about 8 feet up. And I decide, well, this is where I need to take the top off. And I'm thinking, you know, I know it's going to jump up some. I've cut trees before. And so I'm going to leave one branch sticking up to hang on to while I lop the top off. So I lop the top off, and this thing launches me like a catapult, another 8 or 10 feet in the air. I go flying across the air and land in the bushes flat on my butt with a chainsaw in my lap running.
Oh.
So, but fortunately, you know, the new chainsaws have stops on them that keep the chain from continuing. So it's just idling in my lap now, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm fine. I landed on a soft spot. Everything's good. I didn't cut anything off.
More importantly, I still have my genitalia.
Yeah, and so I started laughing, and my wife looks at me and grabs her printers and slams them on the ground and says, I am never working with you ever again.
On anything.
Well, on trees anyway.
Well, do you have a nice cedar-lined closet now?
Yes, I have several cedar-lined things.
All right. Now, does it smell like when I was growing up, I don't know, maybe they've come up with another way, but anyone that had a cedar anything, it smelled like cedar everywhere. Like, if they had cedar in their closet, when that kid came to school, it's like, I know you have a cedar closet because your clothes smell like cedar. Or you're actually a hamster. So
now, you're talking about Western aromatic cedar, right? This is Northwestern cedar that doesn't smell quite as pungent as that.
Yeah, a guy like me, no chance I know that. So you're telling me
really?
The Northwestern cedar Step does not carry game. The same stink as, what did you call the one that...
The Western aromatic.
Western
aromatic cedar is like from Tennessee and stuff. And our stuff over here makes really good shingles and siding, but it doesn't really, you know, it's not good for closets.
So you smoked a lot of salmon.
What's that?
I said you smoked a lot of salmon with it.
Yeah.
That's pretty well. That's because that's a cedar plank we're talking about, right?
I would assume. Now, do you, I've got one of those things where they have different planks. Do you like the cedar? I have not tried the cedar. And the only reason I don't try it, because when I think cedar, and I found out just now, I'm confusing it for Western aromatic cedar.
Oh, I see.
I don't want to taste anything that reminds me of that smell.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I can't imagine to get at the time where you would get to a point where you'd be like, hey, you know what? I don't know. I want my food to taste like wood.
I want it
but
to taste like
cedar.
But
we do it
like
all the
cedar.
Time.
Well, like, barbecue tastes like wood. Well, you got mesquite, right?
Yeah.
People cook a mesquite. That's a wood. But the difference is even when you smell
cherry,
mesquite.
Apple?
Sure. But cedar, like, just my experience with it, I'm like, I picture old people and houses from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I never thought, like, man, I'm looking at your hamster, and he kind of smells like cedar. Can we eat him?
Yeah. That's a good point. Hamsters right? never smell good.
No, they don't. What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
If you learn nothing else in life, just know the hamsters, they never smell good.
Hey, you never had one. Yeah, they stink.
Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys.
Hola.
So, when I was a teenager, I bought a car off my friend. It was a 98 Camry, and I was going to go and pick up my now husband from the airport. And a few months after having this car, the reverse broke in the transmission, so I had to learn how to basically drive over everything and only ever just go forward. So on my way to SeaTac, I'm on I-5 over Lake Washington, where there's like no shoulder at all, when suddenly the drive just died on me with a semi-truck coming up right behind me. And I don't know why, but out of sheer panic, I throw it in drive, turn the car off, I turn it back on, throw it back into drive, and for some reason that worked. And I was able to keep going. But then as soon as I got to the airport, the entire transmission and engine fell out of the car.
And you know what? You're the person I hope picks me up at the airport after a long ass flight.
That's not a cheap repair either.
Yeah, he was so mad. I had to call my mom to come and get us because my mom lives in Everett. So it was just like, are you kidding? She was so mad.
Now, when you said your car, you could not put it in reverse.
No, I couldn't. I would put it in reverse and nothing would happen.
So, how long did you choose not to parallel park, right? Say, street parking only, you're kind of screwed, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Whenever I would go somewhere, I would pull into a parking spot where I could pull forward and never have to worry, like...
But where is that parking space? Because my thought would be you'd kind of have to pull half your car... Like, the back half is in one parking space, the front half of your car is in another one, and you're just going to be that person to make everyone else mad. But, like, where do you find a parking space that you can pull out of forward?
Yeah, so basically, like, I would park at the very back of parking lots where no one would park. So I would just find a spot that was the, like, where two spots were open facing each other. I would just pull through all the way. So it looked like I backed into the spot, but I didn't.
Okay.
Man, yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-mm-mm. How do you guys feel about the pull-through when you're parking?
It doesn't bother me. Some people have strong opinions of it. I really don't.
Like she's saying, like, there's two open spots. So you pull in head first, but instead of staying there, you pull through to the second spot.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I don't need, but some people get really mad.
Why do they get...
I guess the theory is if somebody else was coming from the other side and we're going to pull in and then you pull through.
Okay.
You have to make sure that there's nobody coming to take that spot.
I've never heard of it happening. I just know somebody like, you can't pull through.
And the problem with that is when you do it at the dumbest places. So you'll do it at the grocery store, and then someone will pull in behind you, and then you need to open your trunk to put your groceries in, and you realize now you're pulled forward, and your trunk is in the back, and it's harder for you to get in there.
And I've been guilty of that myself. Like, damn it, I did not think this through, man.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, naked ladies.
Hola.
So a follow-up that you probably don't care too much about, but I had called the other week, and my random question was, what was unique about my body? And I said a Weird Al tattoo.
Yes.
This last weekend, I got to show it to the Weird Al. And Miles, contrary to you thinking it was a bad thing, he actually pulled out his phone and took several photos of my tattoo. So
wonderful.
Nice.
That's a great story.
My arm is on Weird Al's phone.
Okay.
And his face is on your arm.
And is it a good piece, man? I mean, is the work good?
Oh, the work's great, and it's not his face. It's a logo detail.
Right. Oh, right, sort of right.
From the movie, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep,
well, that's cool. Very cool.
All right, so to the story at hand. So I'm out mowing the yard, and I get done, and I come in, and I'm looking on the countertop, and here's this rock. It's, you know, maybe about an inch around, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck had happened. And finally, CSI style, I figure out what happened. I went over this rock with the lawnmower. It went across the yard about 40 feet through an open window, thankfully, but it cut open the screen. About 20 feet across the kitchen, hit a cupboard, left a little gouge that, did 90 degrees all the way across the kitchen the other way, ricocheted off of a glass pitcher, before finally taking another 90-degree turn and landing on the counter about another 10 feet away.
Damn.
Are you sure? I mean, look, yes. It's just this, because you're doing your own CSI, right? So you got a rock, shoots out of the lawnmower, you've estimated the things it's ricocheted off of, the angles it's taken. Why are you so confident that you nailed this?
The rock fit perfectly through the hole in the screen.
All right.
And going from where we have rocks in the yard, it's pretty much a straight line then to where this cupboard is, and there's a gouge there that hasn't been there before. We have a new kitchen. And then a glass pitcher, which was previously pristine, has a nice, bullet hole spread from it right in the middle.
Okay. All right. So you just followed the
mm-hmm.
I was just wondering. I mean, like, normally, I'd hit this, bounce off of it. Like, are you sure? But I believe in that.
Yeah.
You say twice at two different 90-degree angles. Like, man, come on. Look, I'm a cynic, but I'll believe
it. I believe that guy.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
He's on Weird Al's phone.
He is, and he probably has something like, can you believe this ass?
On speed dial.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So I used to ride with this group of guys, and every year they would put on a mini bike race. They'd take these 60-style mini bikes, and they'd hop them up a little bit. And then we'd race them around the dirt track on somebody's property, and whoever won got a trophy. Well, one year I decided to jump in and take a turn on the team that was racing. I get on this bike. Mind you, this thing has got like little 6-inch tires, and it's, you know, no more than about 2 foot tall. Well, this guy had taken and put a variable belt drive on it so it would go super fast. This thing, the guy who test rode it said that it topped, or he chickened out at 60 miles an hour on this little mini bike that was no taller than about 2 foot.
Yeah, I can see why.
So I get on this thing, and we're racing around the track, and I'm just full throttle, as fast as this thing could get it to go. I get up to the hairpin corner, and I go to grab the brakes, and all of a sudden I realize there's no brakes.
Oh, God.
I go flying off the track through a bunch of hay bales. Somehow, 20 feet past that, there was a log. Hit this log. The bike stops. I didn't. 10 feet, full Superman over the handlebars. Hit the ground rolling. Don't know how, but didn't get hurt.
But did you poop at least a little bit?
I'm not going to admit to that.
Okay. And did the whole thing seemingly happen in slow motion?
It did.
That is the weirdest thing. And that's the first thing I thought when you're going through all that. Like, it just seems like, I bet the hail bales took forever to go through. Sure. And then the log is in slow motion. Like, no, I'm flying.
And you remember every single thought right. you have.
Exactly.
With everything you see. But, you know, your friend's like, dude, it was done in 2 seconds.
I wonder if it's just like this huge rush of adrenaline that kind of slows your mind down. I don't understand the phenomenon.
Because it happens to everybody.
Whether you're in a car crash, whatever it is, you see it coming.
Well, when you're in a panic, I think you just pay more attention to everything when you're in a panic, right? So if a bear's attacking or whatever the case, you notice every detail around you because all you want to do at that point is not die.
Right.
Right? So I guess that's why, I don't know. But that would be the theory of relativity.
Yeah.
Like when you're in it, like people, oh my God, I was up there for 20 minutes. You're up there for 35 seconds, we saw you. Or if you ask me how big a spider was in my house, even though I feel I'm telling you the truth, I'm probably not.
Well, no, yeah, but like when you did your boxing thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a 3-minute round?
Oh, yeah. I was just about to say that. Three-minute round. Like
15?
Takes forever. Minutes. And then the minute in between is like no time.
Five seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Because also, yeah, the adrenaline dump just walking out there is unreal.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I think it has to do a lot with adrenaline as far as what it does as your conceptual process of time goes. I think you get that spike in adrenaline and, like, time stands still.
Right. Well, that's why...
If you're worried. It goes real fast if you're happy,
Exactly, right? Yeah. Well, that's what the other reason, too, like, athletes practice so much. So, like they say, so the game slows down for them.
Right. You know, you see every year you hear it.
Right. You see a rookie quarterback in the NFL, like, he just, his mind's racing, he's thinking, and, like, it is faster, but it seems 1,000 times faster. Yeah. I mean, it's the same reason our military, that's why they have boot camps and drills so much.
Right.
So that, like, when you're in it, like, you can still think and do stuff.
I don't know if I could transfer that over. I think that'd be pretty difficult to do. I mean, simulating to do is one thing, but and I'm sure it's realistic. But then when you're in the real deal, I think that
right. But I mean, obviously it's not the military, but like you played high school sports, right? There's a lot of people that have never stood there and tried to throw a ball with a big giant dude with the defense barreling down their neck,
right? Mm-hmm, right.
But screaming at you that he's going to kill you,
right? You had done it enough where you could stand there even though you knew you were going to get crushed.
And he told you he was out to get you anyway. Hey, number one, I'm going to break your ribs
every play.
Well, that's another awesome thing you could do to mess with people, right? When I had a sparring session, our buddy was just like, "I'm going to whoop your butt." And he said it to me for a week, and then he kicked my butt. He had mentally beat me before I got in that ring.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
The bridge on Hutchinson Ferry Road, just inside Gadsden County, Florida, has collapsed, according to the Decatur County Sheriff's Office. They reported just this morning. Sheriff's Office is closed and has closed the road at the Florida-Georgia line. All local traffic has been detoured and rerouted. There were two separate accidents occurring during the collapse at 510 caused by the collapse of the bridge.
Yeah,
cars were on the bridge. They say that both the drivers involved were taken to a hospital with minor injuries. Our question, what went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Do they say why the bridge collapsed?
Just said it collapsed. Okay. I mean, obviously they've said that as far as our infrastructure goes, a lot of bridges need repaired, a lot of things need to be done, and that's just one instance where needed to be done and was not done mechanically.
Hello, Pete. Welcome to the men's room.
Pete.
Hola.
Hola.
So what was up?
My story is when I was a kid, about 10 years old, my dad loaded the whole family up and went way up into the mountains of Idaho to go hunting. And we drove a 55 Chevy pickup. And while we was up there, the engine caught on fire and burned up all the electrical wiring. So we were stranded up in the mountains for about 3 or 4 days before Dad was able to find a rancher that was able to get some wire. And then we was up there for about a week while he rewired the truck before we was able to come home.
Did you have any? Do you have enough food and supplies and all that? Had you gone up there expecting that you're going to spend that much time?
No. My grandfather used to make my dad and his brothers go out hunting when they were kids, and he'd give them so many rounds, so many bullets, and they had to come back with an animal for every bullet they didn't bring back. So okay. I found out my dad was a very, very good shot. I watched him shoot a rabbit, a running rabbit, through the eye with a .22. He would knock birds out of the sky when they were flying. So he kept us fed the whole time.
So you basically just lived off the land the entire time you were stuck up there?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Hey, well, good.
You got to wonder how many people could do that now.
Not a ton. I mean, if you go up there on a hunting trip, obviously you have a better shot.
Help me!
All the hikers, they go off the beaten path. There was a guy locally, he had to be rescued. I think he was with his two kids. He was at a park. He went to some bridge that apparently it's a great observatory of the water. Long story short, he had to call for help. He went down 100 feet. He didn't fall, but he led his kids down 100 feet, realized, hey, we can't get back up. Thankfully, he has a cell phone that makes the call. But I'm watching this on the news, like, if you didn't have a cell phone, what would you do at that point, right?
Well, that's a problem. Even if you lose cell phone service, if you can't use your phone, and a lot of that time, your battery in your phone is looking for a signal. So it will drain your battery faster than anything else when it can't get one. So that's sometimes the worst scenario is you're in an area, now your phone is searching, and it's just blowing through battery power. And you don't realize it, and then you look down, and you're like, 1%. What happened?
But see, also, like, getting lost on your own sucks. You're like, you got your kids with you.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Dad. We got nothing to worry about. It's all good.
Like, did you know? He couldn't panic until he realized, like, all right, I have to panic.
And you know his father's running things like, if it gets really bad, which one of my kids do I eat first? Right?
I mean, I don't think he had any panic. I think the dad knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly what he had to do. He had to get his dad to get him the parts. Like, well, I'll fix it and we'll drive home however long it takes.
No, I'm talking about the guy that was hiking with his kids and had a call for rescue.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
that
different.
Dad didn't know what the hell he was doing.
No, get off the mountain. Get off the mountain. What's up, what went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Tony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I've actually called in before. I've called in and talked about almost ripping the door off of a Land Rover once before. But this is the same shop. Me and some coworkers and my boss.
Oh, hold on, Tony, for one second.
Hold on.
We got to do a little station identification. So just hang on for a couple seconds here. We'll get right back to you.
Whatever you do, don't tell us the name of the shop. Because if you called in because you ripped a door handle off a Land Rover, it just sounds like bad things happen. You don't want to advertise this.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999. Hold on, your call's coming up in seconds.
The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.